And I agreed to, somebody asked me to sing a song. I agreed to try that. And of course, and from the time I said I would do that, I've been strangled, coughing, cuffing, spitting. And so I don't know. But there's just something about singing for the Lord, singing to the Lord. Yes, He's the one we're singing to.
Yes,
and so I think if He can handle my singing, well, maybe not. But you ought to be able to, if He can. But this song just been on my mind, on my heart. I know Pastor kept trying to plant seeds of doubt and fear. I mean, he kept saying, "I'm going to sing this song." He said, "No, you sing farther along." I said, "No." So he's told me about 6 times a day, sing farther along. So if that phrase comes into this song. Oh, amen. All this in heaven too. I stand amazed. I stand amazed at that love that has sought me, saved me, and bought me. I stand amazed when I examine that old rugged cross, the mighty gulf it spanned. It reaches down to the brinks of hell, to heaven's golden strand. And I stand amazed. I stand amazed at a love that has sought me, saved me, and bought me. I stand amazed when I imagine in glory that day, when all of heaven stood still, as God incarnate, the Savior of men, died upon Calvary's hill. Then I stand amazed. I stand amazed at a love that has sought me, saved me, and bought me. I stand amazed. Well, that's amazing grace. The only reason everything about this Christian life is amazing is because of the amazing author, the amazing Savior, the amazing one that left glory, the one that was the delight of His Father around His throne in eternity past, and He chose to substitute Himself and condescend to our low estate, was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. And He substituted Himself for all of mankind. And He paid the price, and He has paid for the sins of the whole world. Now, they're not all saved, but they're paid for.
Amen.
But they must repent and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and then it is imputed to their account. But it's on Christ's account today. There's plenty of grace to go around. There's plenty for Jesus to give. And He's not short-handed or short-changed, or has His arm is not shortened that He cannot save, His ear is not heavy that He cannot hear. But God has provided all things pertaining to life and godliness for us. In Luke chapter number 22, we find Jesus Christ preparing His disciples. He is getting ready to sacrifice Himself. And He has been walking with them for 3.5 years. And He has taught them publicly and privately. He has sang with them. He has told them illustrations in the cornfields, in the gardens, in the forests, and on the grassy plain. He has given them the earthly truths and made them comparable or parables, comparisons between the spiritual and the carnal. And He has taught so many lessons. And they were all handpicked by the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said, "I have chose 12 that they might be with me, that I might send them forth to preach." And so He is training them and he's preparing them. And they have their wives and their children, and they have the 120 in the upper room at many times during his ministry. Of course, he ministered to many thousands along the way, but he chose that some would be with him, and he's preparing them. God doesn't do anything. He doesn't tell us to do anything, and he doesn't tell us to be anything that he is not already himself. Amen. He wouldn't tell us to do something that he doesn't do. He's always the example. If he says to us, keep the Ten Commandments, be ye holy, for I am holy. It's a direct representative of his character in the Ten Commandments. They are the express image of his character, just as we said last night, that Jesus Christ is the express image of God's person, his personality. You want to know what the Old Testament God, Jehovah, is like? You take a real good look at Jesus Christ, because he's not the bully of the Old Testament. The Old Testament is full of mercy and grace, full of long-suffering, full of compassion. And when God did judge, he always sent a prophet first to make sure they gave people another chance, another opportunity to get things right. So he is preparing his disciples. He says, I'm going to go away. And again, he says, I'm going to send another comforter. He said that in John 14 and John 16. But in verse number 35, Jesus says this one statement. And he said unto them in Luke 22:35, when I sent you without purse and without scrip and without shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Of course, now, if you'll read Edersheim's book, Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah, and Josephus, some other things, because the Romans had occupied Israel and then slowly, by attrition, taken over the power of that government, they didn't come in and destroy Israel. Israel had asked them to come in to just help them, to bring Rome in to kind of help them, and Rome just kept coming in and kept coming in until they took over, literally. The Roman Empire that was there made it illegal for the common Jew to carry a sword because of, like, Simon the Zealot and others that tried to work for Israel's freedom from the Roman Empire, even from the time of John Hyrcanus and many of the others in the book of the Maccabees. Now, when all these things happen, Jesus said the right of self-defense is all the way through the Bible. I'm throwing that in just for free. Okay, has nothing to do with my message, except he said, make sure you got one, because there's thieves and robbers and thugs and along the way. But he said this, when I sent you out, at the beginning of his ministry, while these disciples, he would send them out. He said, don't take your shoes. Take your shoes off. You don't need shoes. He said, you don't need a purse. You don't need any money. Leave here with nothing. You don't even take your Bibles. Don't take your scripts. Don't take your outlines. He said, I'm going to send you. You just go forth and you preach. And you know, every one of them, when they came back with suits and shoes and plenty of outlines. He said, did you lack anything when I sent you out with nothing? You always come back with more than you leave. See, he was taking care of them while he was with them. He says, I'm going away and I'm going to send you another comforter, one the world cannot receive or take away, one they can't even see. And so they won't be able to nail him to a cross. They won't be able to corner the Holy Ghost. And so how he's going to be in you, and you're going to do great and wonderful things. He said, but I want you to know that I have provided for you everything you're going to need. So he's proven to them for 3.5 years that while he was here in the world, they lacked nothing. I remember preaching at Winkler Road Baptist Church in Fort Myers, Florida. Dr. Don Strange, I preached for him each year. And we had an IFFB meeting, International Fellowship of Fundamental Baptists. And we had 50 preachers there at least. But there were, I think, 12 to 15 preachers there that had been preaching over 50 years. And there were 5 of these gentlemen that were there that had pastored the same church for over 50 years, Dr. Don Green. Champ I've forgotten the names already. But nevertheless, I was preaching. I said, did you, any of you, that God ever told you to do anything or gave you a vision of what you were supposed to do and your responsibility, did you look back over your ministry, no matter how long it's been, no matter where you've been, and look back and say, he didn't give you the ability to do it? You know, I had those men with tears in their eyes. I said, no. God gave us everything we needed to do everything he told us to do. Now, there's some things we want to do more. There's things we'd like. There's other things. But God provided everything. And looking back on my short 40 years of salvation, 38 years of Christian service, I look back and said, no, it's never been a problem with God. I've been too lazy to do some things. I've been too preoccupied to do some things. I've been too self-centered to do some things. But I've always had everything I needed to do, anything God told me to do. That's right. He said, what lacked ye anything? Now here's my thought. Back there in the Gulf of Hormuz, I might have said this before here, I don't know. But there in the Persian Gulf area, Iran was rattling some sabers and making a lot of noise and said 1/3 of the oil flow of the world comes through the Gulf of Hormuz, a narrow strait there in the Persian Gulf area. And they were threatening that they were going to shut that thing down. So President Obama got a hold of his admiralty and brought them all in and sat down, and he said, I want you to know, can those people shut that down? Are they able to shut that down? And he said the admiralty got with the chief armed services, and they looked at all of, and they came into President Obama and said, listen, we've covered every contingency. There's no way they can shut that down. We've got it covered. And then they sent in two extra aircraft carriers just to make sure. Now, if the admiralty can sit down and look over the situations that America might face, look over the problems and politics of the day, look over the armies and how other countries are directed, and our admiralty or our armed forces can sit down and say, we have taken into every consideration every contingency, and we can hold this thing. We've got it covered. Don't you think God can do that? Do you think Almighty God, when he saved our souls, he said, now just go on, try your hardest, just do the best you can, just use what you got, find a way, build, do some engineering, try to figure it all out. Farther along, we'll know all about, just roll with it, and you'll figure something out. No. He's already considered every contingency. He has not left us here without ability. Where God guides, he will provide. And if God brings you to it, he will bring you through it. There's nothing that he has not already seen and known. Our God lives in eternity. There is no past, present, and future with him. He inhabiteth all of eternity, all at the same time. 1 Corinthians 2:9, the Bible says, neither enter in the heart of men the things that he hath prepared for them that love him, but he hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. This is what the Spirit's revealed. We know everything we need to know about our future, about what's coming, about what's ahead of us. He's already laid out every contingency. It's right here in this book. Holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. These are the words which the Holy Ghost teacheth. And so we can read this Bible, and it will give us insights, because God has somehow provided already up front everything we're going to need for whatever it is we're going to face. See, I need to have that kind of assurance. Jesus was giving his disciples, now listen, I'm going away. You won't be able to lean your head over on me. You won't be able to see me break the bread and multiply it. You won't be able to watch me step on the bow of the ship and say, peace, be muzzled. Peace, be still. In our vernacular, Jesus got up on the boat and said, shut up. So was it that nice? It was a command, and the waves laid down and kissed his feet. The waves stopped. The wind ceased. He'll do that for you. He'll do it every time. It just doesn't look like it. That's because we lack faith. He's told us he's got Jesus Christ has everything under control. Now that's on my phone message. Anybody calls me and I don't want to talk to you, you get to hear that. And you've never heard that, have you? Praise the Lord. Lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. The Bible tells us, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So he's already revealed to us all things. He hath, let's see, how does that verse go? I think it's Romans chapter 8. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he also with him freely give us all things? I'm just saying, get in your mind. Start thinking about some things while I'm preaching, because usually what I'm preaching, people aren't thinking about. So I'm giving you some verses to think about while I'm preaching, and it's only going to be one sermon tonight. It's just a long one. Oh, goodness. I'm not sure if you're for me or against me, but we're in this thing, and I'm going to get you through the introduction, and we appreciate your kind attention. But what is it you don't think he's supplied you? I mean, we got the whining and cryingest bunch of Christians of all the ages today.
Not fair. I just don't think God should have done something like that for me. Why didn't God do that for me? I don't know why he allowed something like that.
And we talked about this morning. Did you ever pray the prayer, whatever it takes, Lord, to get a hold of somebody's heart? And then when God does it, we complain about it?
Yeah.
I had a dear lady of God. She's a faithful lady in my church, and she was in the hospital, and she asked me to come. I went up there, and I sat down, and I read the Bible to her. I prayed with her. I even sang a little song to her, tried to encourage a little bit. And she looked over at me, and she said, Pastor Thurman, do you think God is chastening me for some reason? I said, have you ever gotten a spanking? Yes. I said, when your mom and dad gave you a whipping, did you know you were getting it? Yes. Did you know why you were getting it? Yes. Then God's not chastening you. If you don't know what this is about, it's not the chastening of God. Some of it's just part of the cursed world. Others might be God's trying to get the attention of somebody you love through touching you and revealing your character of your heart and life, so that even the doctors coming into that ward sees two people in the same ward with the same suffering, one saved, one lost, and how in the world is the doctor going to see the difference unless both of them are going through the same thing?
Amen.
And so it seemed to help her for a little while. And so in 2 Corinthians 2:4, God always causes us to triumph in Christ. He said in 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, so that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. He's given us everything we're going to need to do everything he's asked us to do. He's already supplied it. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We've just got to go over there and open the door and start getting the stuff off the shelf and putting it in our pockets, applying it to our life, accessing these things. But we've got to access it by faith. We've got to trust that he's not going to let us lack anything. We're going to have everything we need to face every situation that we're going to come upon. I want to ask something. Does that mean it's on?
Sure. Now.
I was wondering what the singing and dancing. No, they didn't do that. Now they would have. Okay. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Why can we give thanks in everything? Because he's going to give us everything we need.
Every need he is supplying. You're looking at me like you don't believe me. Well, I'm going to list some things here in just a minute. The Bible sent preachers. In Acts chapter 20:20, the Apostle Paul said, I have kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Now, if the Apostle Paul didn't hold back, why do we think God is?
Why would we think God would hold back if the Apostle Paul wouldn't? He said in Acts 20:27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. See, the job of the preacher isn't to find out what you'd like to hear. The job of the preacher is to teach you line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, and just keep preaching the Word of God by the every point and touch all the doctrines and stop riding hobby horses and stop spreading our little heresies, and there's a little heresy in all of us. And I don't have an opinion about that. There hath not failed through all my life and through all your life and through all those lives of every Christian you're going to ask, there hath not failed one word of all his good promises. Not one word. And I want to tell you something. I'm going on record and this is recorded. I'm looking at every one of you, including my missionary and my evangelist friend. You're not so special that God's going to start failing with you. I mean, he's not going to say, now, I'm going to supply all your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus, except now you're one of those strange things, you know. No, you're not that special. Amen. And so God has given us these things, and no, I don't have 30 pages, I have 27. God provided up front for Jesus Christ, we said last night. He gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh to make sure that the adopted father, Joseph, had everything he needed to meet every need of Jesus Christ as he was sent in that manger. He covered the total expense of anything that those parents would need to raise his son. He's got everything you need. He took care, Jesus took care of the widows that surrounded him. I mean, the Bible tells us, I think it's Luke 8:3. The widows followed Jesus and they supported Jesus. It doesn't sound like, is that right? Jesus should have supported those widows. Well, he did, but he lived off of their substance. And widows didn't have much back then. But he took care of them. They ministered to him of their substance. That's what the Bible says. So don't get too mad at a preacher when some widow lady gives me $5 and that means I got $5 more than her. I usually try to find a way to sneak it back in her Bible or do something with it. But if I don't receive it, how God going to bless them?
Right.
Well, if you can figure that out, I can listen. But God has never blessed anybody for intent. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and receive a reward for the things done in the body. Your good wishes and your well-meaningness and your intentions, that's why you need to serve the Lord. You need to do it now. If God puts something on your heart to do, you need to do it now. Because if you die and you don't get it done, I know it was in your heart and God will see that and he'll give you a sense of the reward. But you didn't give it. Just like somebody said, you need to come to the altar and get saved. And you said, maybe next time. You wanted to. You had good intentions, but you left without doing it. You came to get right or to confess your faults one to another and to humble yourself before Almighty God and come to the throne of grace and receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. But instead, you said, I'll try that next time, and you leave. And God knew you wanted to. You had good intentions, but you didn't do it. So God cannot give you what you wanted. Well, I'm going to skip pages 7, 8, and 9. That didn't even bring a smile to your face. Good night. What's it take around here? If God has left us here, and he's left us here as ambassadors, one thing about our God, he's not like our government. He does not abandon his ambassadors down here. He doesn't leave us defenseless. He comes to us. If he has to send another angel to take out 185,000, he can do it. God doesn't leave us that way. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be you reconciled to God. And God does take care of his ambassadors. And if he takes care of his ambassadors, when the ambassadors come together in the local church, we become an embassy with citizenship of another world. And we come down here and we help one another, encourage one another, exhort one another. And so much the more as we see the day approaching and we help when we provide each other's needs, and as we preach this morning, we get the help so that we can go back out and face the foe, face the flesh, and face this world. And but as we said this morning, a lot of people, as soon as they get in trouble, they leave the church, the place that God has put help, the place where he will give the help. And so we're not just ambassadors, and we're not just an embassy. Surely our Heavenly Father watches over local churches, no matter what country they're in, brother. He watches over them, and he takes care of them. Thank God for the umbrella protection of God's authority in our life. We're soldiers. He's not sending us to battle and say, now, buy your own gun, buy your own armor, you know, get your own, buy your own boots that'll, so you can step on the thorns and the briars and the poison things that like Vietnam people had to face. And no, who goeth to warfare at his own expense? God is sending us into this warfare. He's going to give you all the bullets you need. He's going to give you all the ammunition you need. He's going to give you all the supply you need. Our God's not like us. We're to be like God, but God is not like us. We're made in his image, after his likeness. I'm just saying, Jesus told his disciples, now when I'd sent you out like that, you came back with shoes, you came back with scrip, you came back with money. What lacked you? Did you lack anything? And they said, no. He said, okay, I'm going away. But now I'm going to make it easier on you. Since I proved I could do it when you left without shoes. Now, boy, I'll tell you what. I am the tender-footedest. You take my shoes off, I'm done. I mean, it sparks and it's, it's like walking on nails. I mean, I've got very sensitive feet. You know, the old cowboys, the worst thing you could do is steal a cowboy's horse and make him take his boots off. Tenderfoot. I mean, I'm a tenderfoot. If I got to take my shoes off, I'm not going out to the mailbox. Because I'll find that one pebble. And I'll cry like a baby. Unless somebody's looking. I mean, we're his soldiers, we're his ambassadors, we're his husbandmen, we're the farmers for his fields. He doesn't make, it's his field, he's not going to make us do all that without the equipment. He's going to give us everything we need to do it. At least he'll let us borrow a mule somewhere. I mean, we're his servants. And one thing about being a servant, all your need is supplied. I'll just say this about, I hate slavery. But I'm glad I'm a slave of Jesus. I'm his total obligation. You ever felt that way? We're his children. So you're going to let us not have everything we need? What man having a son, if he asks bread, gives him a stone? Asks fish, gives him a scorpion or something like that? No, he said, I'm a good father. I'm a good father. And he's going to take care of us. So he said, For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. He's going to provide. He'll put the angels on half rations before he'll fail one of his children down here. And there's plenty in the house of, what's that song? Everything's all right in my Father's house. God is not worried about anything. He's not wringing his hands. He's not twiddling his thumbs. He's not drooling in his beard. It's coming, preacher. It's coming. Well, I tell you, some of you left me a long time ago. I've been trying to get you back. So here's where we're going. Not one thing has he failed to provide. I want you to know that before you even go get baptized. I want you to know that there's not one thing. Jesus paid it all. He having forgiven you all trespasses. He hath cleansed us from all iniquity. Now, which one did he leave out? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What did he not cover? He covered it all. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. He's covered every contingency. You won't come to the throne of grace. You won't come to an altar. You won't stand before God and say, well, there was this one that you just didn't cover. No, he's got you covered. Well, he's not holding back. He's not like us. Jesus had to command his disciples, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And that's how we're supposed to sing. And that's how we're supposed to preach. That's how we're supposed to study. That's how we're supposed to help. That's how we're supposed to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good work and glorify our Father which is in heaven with all our heart. No holding back. No brakes on. Go, give it everything we've got. Do all to the glory of God. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do all, whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Why? Because you're doing it for the Lord. He didn't hold back. He deserves the kind of service that he served us. So what did he hold back? Well, let me see. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Well, nobody's perfect. Now, whose fault is that? What scripture did he leave out? What between the pages of this leather book? What is it that God failed to provide so that you couldn't be everything you're supposed to be? And that's what perfect means. Did he leave something out? Did he not cover something? He's given us all scripture. He didn't hold back something. He said, what do you lack? The only thing you and I lack is lack of reading. Lack of leaning, trusting, study, lack of study. There's enough scripture to answer every situation because every page reveals the answer. And Jesus Christ is the answer.
Yes, sir.
I'm interested. Let us not be in that ground. Well, nobody's perfect. Now, he's going to blow away. Not one person is ever going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and say, well, I wanted to, but I just couldn't. No, you just wouldn't.
Amen. That's good.
Nobody's going to be able to say, well, I tried, but I just couldn't get through it. No, you didn't try, or you would have. You just didn't take up something that he had provided. And so he supplied us with all the scriptures. 2 Peter 1:1-3. He hath given us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us out of darkness into his light. And so he's given us all the scripture, and he's given us all things pertaining to life. Now listen to me, you don't have to get up every morning and say, breathe. Oh, beep. Blink. Breathe. Beep. Secrete. Now that's just as important as the other ones. See, those are automatic. If you have life, those things are built in. They're beyond conscious. They're innate. They're genetically engineered in the system if you're alive. Well, I'm saying if you're born again, born from above, born with the hand of God, born by the blood, there's some things you don't have to add to your life. You've got it already. As newborn babes, you desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If you're born again, you will love and read this Bible. Maybe not like you should. Maybe not with all that. But somebody can show you how to study to show yourself approved unto God as a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But every born-again child of God will get their nose in this book. Because they're babies. They want the milk. You don't have to teach a born-again person to pray. I've never had anybody tell me I need to read my Bible because I wasn't reading my Bible. When I got born again, it was an automatic thing. Now, I should do it more. I should do it more thoroughly. But the desire was there. And nobody had to tell me I ought to pray because he sent forth the spirit of adoption into our souls crying, Abba, Father! And you really not doing you any kind of praying until that's about all that can come out of your mouth. Right. Lester Roloff used to say, the most sincerest form of prayer is, Oh, God! And that's about it. And he'll answer every time. Yes, no, later. Or some other way. So he's given us all scripture. He's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. We have a new person born on the inside, born by the same seed that birthed Jesus Christ in the womb of Mary. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, that he cannot sin because he is born of God. If the new man could sin, it would have to be redeemed. The new man would have to get redeemed again. No, it's the old man that's not changing. The new man, we make a conscious decision to yield ourselves as to that newborn man inside of us, and we feed him and we get him close to the charger of heaven, and so that he can energize us, and we yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. And none of us are going to get at the judgment seat as Christians and say, you just didn't give me everything I needed. I got shortchanged here. And especially nobody's going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and say, you were not fair. Amen.
That's right.
Well, I just want to ask you, do you really want him to start being fair now? Really? You want God to be fair with you? You want to start getting exactly what you deserve? I said, no, don't start now. Keep having mercy, grace, long suffering. Be kind. Oh, Lord, in wrath remember mercy. Oh, God, no, don't give me what I deserve. Just give me an opportunity to try again.
Amen.
A great thing about Christianity is we can start all over every day. We don't have to carry yesterday tomorrow. He's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. What he's given us, all the virtues of the Holy Ghost. Oh boy, I wish I could just preach one message. He's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. He's given us all the gift. He's given us all the gift of the Holy Ghost. Every one of us born again, you have all the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Now, he may not have all of you as far as control, but you have all the Holy Ghost. You have all the virtues that come with the Holy Ghost. You have all the fruit of the Holy Ghost. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, faith, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I've duplicated one. I guess I needed faith twice. But he's given us the Holy Ghost. And we have the meekness of the Holy Ghost. We have the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost, the illumination of the Holy Ghost. And not if you're born again, somebody else doesn't have more of the Holy Ghost than you do. So what is your excuse? I'm tired of me trying to convince myself I've got an excuse for not having victory in my life. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. All you have to do is do right. Just do what God says. Well, I might die. Glory to God. Quick trip to heaven. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
Yes, sir.
It's not like he's punishing Christians to kill them. Name me one that went to heaven that wanted to come back.
No, sir.
I mean, he's given us all the gifts of the Holy Ghost, all the fruits of the Holy Ghost, all the power of the Holy Ghost. He said, all things to meditate on. He didn't even just leave us down here without telling us. Now, you need to think about these things. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, etc., etc. Think on these things. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. It's when we start sitting down in a room and you turn all the lights out and you say, oh, what am I going to think about? What am I going to think about? And all of a sudden the voices come. No, don't let your mind go. Meditate on things. In the Bible, imagination is always set in contradistinction to meditation. Meditation is biblical. Imagination is demonic. You shouldn't have. I tell you the story of George Washington Carver. He's a great scientist, right? He said, no. He said, I'm not a scientist. He said, I'm a meditator. I looked at the peanut one day and I said, Lord, what can you tell me about that peanut? He said, I studied my Bible, I prayed, and I meditated upon the peanut. And George Washington Carver invented 3,600 some different things off of that peanut. And he said, great scientist? He said, no, I just think about it. I dream about it. I set my mind on it and study the scriptures and ask God to show me stuff. He said, I wonder what we can do with a soybean. Almost the same amount of stuff. But he said in the beginning of his biography, his autobiography, the portion that he wrote on that, he said, I was just meditating one day and I said, Lord, show me the secrets of the universe. He said, Mr. Carver, that's just a little bit too much territory for you. He said, well, how about the peanut? God said, that's about right. Boy, that was a man who was a man of God, walked with God, meditated on God, and meditated on the Bible, and God opened his mind. Meditation will sanctify the imagination.
Okay.
And so that's where music comes from. Meditating on whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, any wisdom, any knowledge, think on these things. I mean, he's given us all things to meditate on. He said in 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. He's given us everything we need to do and everything that he's ever asked us to do by prayer. He's given us the grace of prayer. So, when's the last time you really used it? I got a feeling most of us spend most of our prayer time counseling God. If you're anything like me. telling God, now who hath been his counselor? Just what information are you going to give God that he doesn't already have? When you pray, what are you really doing? You're really saying, Lord, illuminate, put this stuff together that I've been reading and studying and the life experience, put them together. Help me see the pattern. Help me see the plan. Help me see what you want me to be. Help me to see which path I need to walk. And you keep meditating on this. And the Holy Spirit verifies with assurance. Verifies with a settled assurance in your heart. Verifies with a scriptural acclamation. But he always gives you the will of God in a spiritual atmosphere. He that is willing to do my will shall know. And God, people come to me all the time. Brother Thurman, what do you think God's will is in this, that, or the other? I said, let me ask you a question first before I give you the Bible answer, because I don't have an opinion. I'm still working on that thing. Are you willing to do what the Bible says if I show it to you? Now, if you're not willing to do it, why would God reveal it to you? Why does he just want to pile on more condemnation?
Yes, sir.
God's not that kind of God. If you're willing to do it, you'll know. A lot of people say, surrender to Spain, they surrender to Portugal, they surrender to Germany, they surrender to every country like I did when I first got saved. And finally I decided, you know, I just need to be willing to do anything.
That's right.
And all of a sudden, I knew I should marry that girl. Well, that's a biggie. You better get the right one, or you. Yeah, okay, amen to that. Now, we can come boldly to the throne of grace because he's given us all grace. Now listen, he has, in 1 Corinthians 3:21, he said, whether Paul or Cephas or Apollos, all are yours. If you can't get it through Michael Jerk Thurmond, and if you can't get it through Pastor Brian Pease, and you can't get it through Brother McCloskey, if you can't get it, he'll send somebody else. He'll give you a loud preacher, a soft preacher. He'll give you a smart preacher. He'll give you a good preacher. He'll give you a long-winded preacher. And he'll give you somebody to just get to the point, say what needs to be said and go on. He'll give you somebody that talks with a southern accent, or he'll give you somebody that's highly intelligent, intuitively obvious, of the analytic sequence you're using and diametrically opposed to all that you're... whatever it takes, God has given you Apollos. He's given you Pauls. He's given you Timothys. He's given you Tituses. He'll give it to you any way he can, through any instrument he can, because he loves you. And he wants you to get the message. I got a friend of mine named Bob Carrico. I had him at every church. You folks know him. He offended everybody every time I brought him. And then when it was over, they all said, when's he coming back? I mean, they just, you know, I said, wait a minute. You told me how everything he preached offended you. His style, his growl, his slap in the pulpit, his message that has nothing to do with the text. My dad's a yellow dog Democrat. Okay, my dad, but he heard Bob Carrico preach. And Bob Carey, he was just obnoxious. My dad said after it was over, he said, is he going to be back tomorrow night? I said, if you'll come back tomorrow night, Bob Carrico will be back tomorrow night. My dad came back to hear him, second time. Miracles happen. And touch my dad's heart. And I tried to use him every once in a while. I love Bob Carrico. Long time friend. It takes all kinds to reach all kinds. That's why you're the way you are. There's some people that wouldn't give me the time of day. There's some people I couldn't witness to. They got me shut off. I preach in the mountains of Tennessee, and if I can't solve Latin, I can't put some Latin in my word. They tell you, you can't preach. They're not going to listen to anything I got to say. And then if some of those guys come up to the more sophisticated New England areas and they start that stuff and they flip the switch off and said, we should send somebody up here that can preach. So every part of the country's got their own style. But don't let style, don't let personality, just know that that's a gift from God. He's trying to give it to you every which way he can so you will get it. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Now which part didn't he supply? So if the fiery dart hits you, whose fault is that? You didn't put it on. He supplied it. Don't blame God. Amen. He supplied. The preacher. Every kind of preacher. So if you didn't get it, it's not God's fault. He gave it to you with every style of personality, every education level. Paul said he's become all things to all men that he might by any means save some. And that's why I study all kinds of things. That's why I on purpose learned some languages. That's why I on purpose learned how to rebuild automatic transmissions. That's why I on purpose did those things, because I knew I was going to be witnessing to people that knew about that stuff, and I wanted to be on even ground with them. And I got my degrees not for me and not because I was smart, but because I knew I had a lot of highly educated people that I was going to be coming in contact with. And if they didn't know I at least had the education they had, that they weren't going to listen to me. And that's about the only area at camp meetings that's politically incorrect, is to talk about you ought to get some education. But it's free time to beat on somebody that is educated, whatever it is. All the armor. Now what did you lack except you on purpose didn't put it on? You have to make a conscious decision not to do the things of God because there's somebody dwelling inside you. You had to make a conscious decision not to pick your Bible up and read it. You had to make a conscious decision when you passed that place that you normally pray and you said, I'll do it. No, you had to make a choice. And you had to make a choice not to put your armor on. Okay. Did you know the Bible tells us? Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And lo, I am with you always. He didn't just supply everything we need. He said, I'm going to be with you all the way. All authority, not just hang on to me. We do our best not to offend. We do our best not to violate obviously biblical law anywhere. But don't tell me that God ordained antichrist or antichrist governments. Don't go there. Christ, they are antichrist. That means they're against Christ. And if they're against Christ, I'm against them. And the day the United States of America is against Christ, I am against the United States of America. Nothing wrong with our Constitution. Nothing wrong with our form of government. It's the best that's ever been. But the best government is an absolute dictatorship, absolute tyranny, absolute monarchy with Jesus Christ sitting on the throne. But there's no one else that qualifies. So till then, I'm going to stick with my Republican representative government. Oh, well, not a democracy. I don't want mob rule. I want representative government. And so we can vote them out if we can. And we can ask God to remove their bishopric if we need to. So away with our excuses. That's what I'm talking about. We can go anywhere and do anything. Now, you may have to die. How come every other country in the world, I'm trying to close. I really am. I preached this last February, the whole month in India, as I usually do. And we were preaching to a special Burmese group of preachers, 50 of them, and their families. And Myanmar has been taken over by a radical dictatorship, and it's very dangerous to live there. And I asked these young men that were coming in, I said, what's your dreams? What's your goal? What is your desire while you're here? It is to learn everything I need to go to so I can go back to my country, so I can preach the word of God and get some young man saved and get him discipled, and then and see God's call upon his life and send him back here to get trained to take my place, because I'll probably be dead by then. Their lifespan is about 3 years after they commit to Christ. It's called standing in the gap, making up the hedge. American Christians are low-class Christians compared to the Christians of the world. Now, I'm just telling you. I'm talking about me. I go over there with a big name, and I'm Dr. Mike Thurman, and I stand head and shoulders above everybody. I'm the big man on campus, and I'm not worthy to shine their shoes. So, what's all this excuse stuff? What's all this defeat stuff? What's the devil going to do against this artillery? Amen. I mean, what's the world system going to do against God's providential system? I mean, how's he going to stand against that? The devil doesn't stand a chance against God. One day soon, God's going to squash him like a bug. And that's it. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He shall vex them in his sore displeasure. He shall have them in derision. Oh. Away with discouragement. Don't bring your discouragement to God. The last time somebody did that in the book of Exodus, God said, "You bringing that discouragement to me?" He said, "Have some fiery serpents to bite you, and that'll give you something to be discouraged about." When you're discouraged, that's a slap in the face of the goodness of God. It's saying God's not being all he's supposed to be. God's not been good to me. God's not been good enough for me. Well, I think we need to get rid of that junk. And through the pages of these little notes that I scribble out on my leather seat going down the road, two of these are napkins. I'll tell you what, God never, he never prepared his disciples for defeat. He prepared them to be champions. He prepared us to go forth conquering and to conquer. He sent us into this world and he said, "Do it. I'm with you." We'll let coaches have far more liberty than pastors to encourage us. I'll never let another man preach to me that way. But you let your coach do that to your son or your daughter. Because sports is more important than your spirituality. Oh, that was free. I got two big guys waiting on me when I leave today. Mark, you're with me. Okay. And I know I broke the soberness of the moment. But you know, I can do all things. All things. Because he's provided all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He doesn't just give me the weapons. He teaches my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken in my arm, David said. He gives us the Holy Ghost, who is the buckler, because you can't put that armor on by yourself. You have to have somebody behind you cinching it up. And the Holy Ghost uses people. He's not a cloud that swoops down on people. He uses the human instrument. So before Jesus went, he told his disciples, "Now, I've taken pretty good care of you while I was here. I've considered every contingency. Now, while I was with you, did you lack anything? And while you have an awareness of the presence of the Lord in your life and in your service and in your home, is there anything that you don't know?" It's just we lose a conscious awareness of Him. And we lose a conscious awareness of all these good things He has given us. Some of you need to pick your musical instrument back up. Some of you need to pick your Bibles back up. Some of you need to go back to your prayer closet. Some of you need to get back to memorizing. Some need to just start making those calls again. Some of you need to start writing little cards of encouragement to each other. Some of you need to get back in with all the blessings and the power and privileges of being ambassadors, soldiers, citizens. You're looking at an alien, a regular ET. I'm extraterrestrial. I'm a citizen of heaven and a citizen of this world. Well, not this world. The United States of America. And I'm proud to be an American. In spite of what I said, it's still the greatest country on the face of this earth. But we're losing her. And you know who God's going to blame? Not the heathen. Not the lost. He's going to blame us because we're the salt and we're the light. And we have the power. So I just suggest to all of us that we throw away all the excuses and lame answers and just come back and pick it up again. Pick up the cause of Christ again. Pick up the mantle again. Ask for the power of God back in your life again. And let's go forth conquering and to conquer. And if you don't have enough ammunition, come back to the Bible. Get some bigger bullets. Go back out. You can take it. And you can win.
Yes, sir.
Father, we love you. Ask your blessings upon this hour that I've preached. I pray, Lord, that you'd give these people